Yet the moment of release was, without any doubt, the greatest of my life, and in the lives of all my fellow prisoners of war of our flag 12B. We'd been moved from the camp in which we'd spent 18 weary months and had gone through somewhat anxious period expecting a further move from day to day. But the move never came, and every day brought the American troops nearer to us in their spectacular advance through Germany. We were standing at the edge of a slag heap in the little railway town of Lollar, a few miles north of Gießen, when the great moment came. It was epitomized by a great cry of the American tanks, a concerted shout which went up in English, French, Russian, Polish, Dutch, Italian, German, in fact, in almost every conceivable language, from the packed group of people from every corner of Europe and the British Empire to whom the arrival of the Americans meant deliverance. To us of Offlag 12B, the senior British officers' camp in Germany, which included 11 brigadiers, it meant the end of a long, weary term of imprisonment dating back to Dunkirk days for some. To the French, Belgians, Dutch, Russians, Poles, and others, it meant emancipation from slavery. Rumors had been flying around for days about where the American troops were. German trucks returning from the front were continually claiming to have missed capture by minutes. But early on Wednesday afternoon, it became plain that the Americans were very close. Our temporary camp was a group of huts out in an open field with a slag heap and an arms factory, which had long since ceased active production, behind us. About 3 o'clock in the afternoon, things began to warm up. Shells began to fall ahead of us in the field, and machine gun fire began to get more and more intense. Soon we could see figures appearing on the horizon. It was decided to evacuate the camp to the German air raid shelters, which were dug deep under the slag heap. Our German guards no sooner entered the shelters than they unbuckled their arms and threw them in heaps in corners of the shelter. They'd been a little bit embarrassed about their arms for some time. They thought they wouldn't get a very good reception from the Americans if they were armed. I dumped my belongings in the shelter and went outside. The noise of the battle increased. And then suddenly, out of a wood, came the American tanks and tracked troop carriers. Everyone became delirious with excitement. "Come on and see the American tanks," I shouted to some Russian girls who'd been working in the station restaurant. "American tanks? Невозможно," they cried. "Pas possible," cried the French. But it was possible. It was true. One of the troop carriers stopped. Two men jumped out and came down to the far bank of the Lahn River, which separated us from them. I ran down the steep bank on my side. By the greatest piece of luck, there was an old barge tied up there. "How's things over there with you?" the Americans asked. "Fine," I said. "You want to come across?" "Yeah, can you get that boat over?" "You bet your life I can." And with three others, including the only American POW in the camp, I poled the rickety old craft across. "How are your guards?" the Americans asked when we were about in midstream. "Like lambs," I said. "You needn't worry about them." "Oh, we're not worrying," said one of the Americans, fingering his gun. We nearly upset the boat on the return trip, but we got our deliverers safely and dryly across. They forced their way through a cheering crowd of POWs and foreign workers. Relief lit up the faces of even the Germans. No more bombs, no more alarms for them. The worst of the war was finished as far as they were concerned.